And thank you for coming back for another As It Is program on VOA. I'm Jim Tedder in Washington. Today, we help you learn and improve your American English while we hear about the elections in Ukraine. That country has been anything but peaceful lately. What will voters do when they go to the polls this Sunday? Then, a bit later, we will travel to New York City and visit the new Memorial Museum that sits on the site of the 9/11 terrorist attacks. Two items that will tell you what is going on in our world and help you learn English at the same time. Ukraine is set to hold presidential elections this Sunday. Some observers say the vote is the most important in Ukraine since it became independent from the Soviet Union in 1991. The voting comes 2 months after Russia's takeover of the Crimean Peninsula from Ukraine. Since then, separatists in eastern Ukraine have declared their independence from the central government, and security forces have clashed with separatists in a number of eastern cities. The events in Ukraine are being closely watched in Europe and around the world. As we hear from Anna Mateo, the unrest has affected efforts by the United States to persuade other countries to change their policies.
U.S. officials travel the world to build support on a number of issues, from the civil war in Syria to Iran's nuclear program. But some observers believe the West's reaction to the Russian moves in Ukraine has harmed those efforts. Alexei Haran teaches comparative politics at the National University of Kiev Mohylo Academy.
How are you going to persuade other nuclear states like Iran, North Korea, to give up the nuclear weapon in exchange for what? They see that in Ukraine these guarantees didn't work.
Professor Haran notes that Russia was seen as a guarantor of Ukraine's independence, but then took control of Crimea.
We expect a strong reaction from international community because it undermines the whole system of security which is in Europe now.
The Russian military has been active along the border with Ukraine, but Western nations have reacted with soft power, diplomacy, and economic actions. Around the world, that was seen as weak, says Zina Dormandy. She is a U.S. policy expert with Chatham House in London.
That's a very, very dangerous message to take away because each situation is different. That's how you get people crossing red lines because of that ambiguity and you have a potential conflict.
Still, she thinks, the soft power response is not as weak as it might seem.
Absolutely not. The response will, in time, have significant effects on the Russian economy.
Some of those effects are already being felt. Russian President Vladimir Putin has started to distance himself from militants in eastern Ukraine, at least officially. However, observers agree the Russian takeover of Crimea cannot be undone, and they say the danger still exists of a Russian invasion of eastern Ukraine. So if other countries are looking for lessons learned in the Ukraine crisis, it may be too early to know what they are. I'm Anna Mateo.
It has been more than 12 years since terrorists attacked the World Trade Center in New York City. The grounds where the Trade Center's North and South Towers once stood are now called Ground Zero. Last Thursday, Ground Zero was a place of sorrow and closure, celebration and silence. Many people went there to attend the opening of the National September 11th Memorial Museum. June Sims has more.
An atmosphere of shared mourning and public satisfaction filled a large underground room at the start of the hour-long ceremony. The crowd listened as the Young People's Chorus of New York City performed the Star-Spangled Banner. Former New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg is the chairman of the Memorial Museum.
This museum, built on the site of rubble and ruins, is now filled with the faces, the stories, and the memories of our common grief and our common hope. It is a witness to tragedy. It is an affirmation of human life. It is a reminder to us and to all future generations that freedom carries heavy responsibilities. And it is a reflection of our belief that the true hope of humanity resides in our compassion and kindness for one another.
Another speaker at the ceremony was President Barack Obama. He spoke of the museum and its pictures, oral history recordings, pieces of wreckage, and other objects. He says they combine to tell the human stories of the September 11th attacks. Very personal objects bring the tragedy home to visitors. One example is a broken watch. Its hands stopped when a hijacked airplane hit the building. The collection also includes the shoes Florence Jones was wearing that day. She had walked down to safety from the World Trade Center's 75th floor. She then walked another 50 city blocks to a friend's office. When she heard the museum officials were looking for donations, she remembered her ruined shoes.
I had put them in a plastic container, and when I took them out, they still had the smell on them from that awful day. And I knew I would never wear them again. So I decided to donate them here. I wanted my nieces and my nephew and every person that asked what happened to see them and maybe understand a little bit better what it felt like to be us on that day.
These and other speeches made for an emotionally difficult ceremony. Many people seemed both touched and thankful when LaChanz went to the front of the room to sing. She was 8 months pregnant with her second child when her husband was killed in the 2001 attacks.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound.
Near the end of the ceremony, Michael Bloomberg seemed to speak for many of those in attendance. He noted that there are hard lessons to be learned, but also shafts of light that can illuminate the days ahead. I'm June Sims.